Hey, this is Rob Unspach, and welcome to another edition of E-Heroes. Today's E-Hero is the Queen of Visibility, Juliet Stapleton. Welcome.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, you're over in England, right?
I am actually over in Ireland.
Ireland. Wow.
Yes, the magic land of Ireland. The country of myths, global myths. And when you come here, it's all completely different.
Yeah, you know, I'm in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and people know us for the Amish. So they're always like, are you Amish? And I'm like, no, I'm not Amish. But that's, you know, that's the common myth.
Yes, I think that it's so true. And people like labeling. I think it's the first thing we do is we sort of label. So if you're from that area, you must be that or, you know, well, I'm from Ireland, but I'm not Irish. I am from Estonia, but I'm not Estonian. So in my life, there's so many buts when I have to talk about, you know, who I was. I was actually born in Ukraine, but that was a complete accident. My mom was on holidays, which I don't know why she went on holidays so late in her pregnancy, but she did. And so now on my passport, I have Ukraine as the country of birth, which is not really sometimes a good thing to have because people just make assumptions, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm not actually. So there's so many buts that when it comes to those kind of labels, I am not, you know, I'm so into like connectedness and don't like, and I think I still do put labels on people, but that's a natural thing. It's just when you don't base your life around labeling everybody and putting them in boxes and that's the way you see the world, that's a different story, I think.
So how did this whole Queen of Visibility come about?
Oh God, the Queen of Visibility was born from running a business for a long time and supporting people. I was doing, I had a digital marketing agency for about 5 years, almost 6 years before I decided that it's enough and I need more. And I decided to take over the world, and that's like a normal ambition for any queen to have. That's where it started. In fact, I was just thinking, you know, maybe I was actually just thinking that there is something in me that Games of Thrones didn't end up very well. But I think that I was one, like, I'm also blonde, you know, so maybe I'm hoping I'm not going to turn in any sort of nasty way later on. But so far, so good. So far, I'm the queen that slothed. And really, like, the internet and the whole thing I was fascinated from the day I bought my first computer. It was 1996. And I logged in through that little modem, dial-up modem, you know, the whole music you had to listen to. And then I was mind blown because I realized that me sitting there in Tallinn, Estonia, I could connect. But at that stage, wasn't as much even people, but I could connect to information that would make my life easier. And then I also, as years progressed, realized that you can also put your profile up there. You can be visible to people regardless of the area. You know, I was growing up, and probably because I'm an introvert, I always felt, you know, like outcasted. I didn't feel like I was belonging to the group of people. Or maybe it's because I'm an entrepreneur. Some of us sometimes go through this growing up, these kind of feelings, you know, and I never felt like I was fitting somewhere. So for me to find people that I do fit in with, or at least that are easy to communicate to, and they don't either look down on me or look at me like I have two heads, I need more. And so the internet was that sort of place. And I think that when I discovered that this happened, it became the primal thing for me. For example, I was a singer when I was younger and I was in bands. But the moment I discovered internet, I realized that you can actually do so much more online than actually singing and getting gigs. So I was always into promotion. And later on, then I was also into fashion and I had my fashion blog. There was loads of things like that, but it was always online. So then in 2012, I created my business. I was supporting local businesses. And after 5 years of working with local businesses, I realized that it's a different thing when you want to reach people globally, or you just want a few people to come into your local business, and it's a different mentality. And my own mentality was so much, I would say bigger than that. You know, it wasn't about transactions. It wasn't even about building business in terms of building your income and revenue. It was much more about who do you connect and how fulfilled you feel while you're also getting your revenue. And, you know, I really didn't want to spend my life like a glorified employee who comes home and resents everything in their lives. And I felt for the whole 5 years of my business, that's how I felt. So one day in 2017, I woke up and I said, no, I don't have any control in my life. I need to do something spectacular. And I somehow intuitively, I knew that social media, it will be online. Social media is the way to go. I wasn't massively active before that. I'm a very private person. I mentioned I'm an introvert. You know, it's not really about connecting to strangers. Well, it wasn't. And then it became a necessity. And as someone who is strategic when it comes to making your dreams come true, I started being very active online. I started on Facebook, particularly because I thought, and I still think, that this is the best platform to really create relationships and, you know, inspire people, empower people, show who you are. We have so many different types of content we can produce. Then live video came into our lives as well. You know, so in 2017, we already had live video. So I did a live video challenge, came out of my shell. And really from then on, I've been building this visibility and authority, but it was more about four words: inspiring people, sharing what I know, guiding them through the dark, scary world of tech or Facebook or online marketing, and then helping them to get more confident. And this is basically what I do. And I think that's, as a queen of visibility, somebody branded me last year and just kind of fit. And then, you know, and I said, well, you know what? I'm going to own this. It can be enough or it could be really good. It can go two ways. But if you own it and if you really, those four words really fit into what a good queen would do for her people. And that's how it started. And here we are.
You know, you had mentioned, you know, your local market, and I don't do anything in my local market. I just find that my local market is, they're very conservative when it comes to money. They don't understand the technology. And they don't want to spend it. You know, to grow my business, I thought, you know, I do all this great stuff for my clients. I help them with their authority. I help them with their, you know, their marketing, their videos, and their social. And there's no way that I can convince all these local people to spend their money with me. So all my clients are global. I mean, they're all over the United States, Canada, and Europe. And these are people that have the money, that want to know more. They want to be able to promote themselves. And I think that's the problem with a lot of entrepreneurs. They think that they have to stay in that local market. They need to stay in their own lane. And it's not always the case with the internet.
I agree. And I think, you know, this was the reason why after 5 years, I still didn't feel like I'm running my business, because it's the way I was treated as well by the local entrepreneurs who don't understand what, so most of them, if not all of them, weren't even on Facebook. And I was running their Facebook pages. So for them, my level, if anything, they didn't see me as expert because they didn't understand mm-hmm. at all what it is that I'm expert in. You know, everything was viewed with suspicion, and that's a very unpleasant way of communicating. It's like you're trying to convince somebody all the time that this is the way that it should be and this is how it is. And also, social media is not really a sales channel. It's first PR and relationships building channels that will result in sales. So it's not direct, like you put a post and straight away you have a cha-ching transaction coming in. But that's the impression that a lot of local businesses have. And they also think sometimes that having an online presence is like a silver bullet for lack of clients in their area, in their actual premises, whether they are service providers, where they are in health and wellness industry, or shops or restaurants. But having a website online, like a lot of people say, let's just put a website and we'll sell products that don't sell in the shop, we'll sell them online. And this is just, it couldn't be further from the truth, how you create businesses online. They are even more difficult than offline businesses, because you have to do a lot of showing up to show your face to those people. Locally, it's much easier, because if you go after work to your local pub and, you know, you chat to a few people and then you start saying, yeah, and I have this shop opening up, already a few people know about you and they know you, because people like working with people. So first you start with people you know, and then you expand, right? But this is the mentality, and it is very sad, because the potential that they could have, and I've seen that and I've done that. I was supporting a restaurant, local restaurant. It was already a popular restaurant, but they didn't have any Facebook presence. Then we've built the page up to, and that was in 2012 to 2013. So we organically built a page from 1,000 likes to 5,000 likes. They were all real people, constantly engaging. We had massive engagement. I have never seen anything like that on the page, and especially going forwards. But then Facebook, of course, it's limited the organic reach. So by 2015, that wouldn't have been possible, just simply because people didn't see the posts, you know. But it's possible to create relationships. So through Facebook, then we were able to create those relationships, have chats. People then, so they would come into the restaurant and they'd have chats with staff. That was the big selling point, the staff. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing was happening online. And it just created so much return business. You know, our sales on the lowest of the months, which is January, they went 15% the next year, the year when we started focusing on Facebook. Return customers came in even on the quietest times. Mm-hmm. So this is something that there is a potential in this. And yes, these days, today, you can't just create a Facebook page and organically, without spending money, create those kind of relationships. It's so hard because there's such a limit on who sees the posts, you know. But I don't do things traditionally, and I just decided to use my personal profile. Yes, you cannot use it for commercial gain, but that's okay, because I clearly see that before you get commercial gain from anything, you need to build relationships. Mm-hmm. That's what we are doing on our personal profile, and that's my whole thing. That's how I built my whole business. I'm still not using ads. My business page is literally a brochure where I post my best content. That's already been tested on my personal profile. I don't use ads just yet, but I am in the state of business where I should be using ads now to scale even more. But so far it's really worked, but it worked through a lot of effort, a lot of showing up, and spending literally 90% of my time on my marketing, my content, you know, showing up, doing interviews, building my authority, communicating with people, and then 10% on client delivery. And it really did work.
You know, I was actually watching one of your videos, and I think that's very important that, you know, the listeners learn how to do videos, because those live videos are your calling card. It's giving the ability to build your authority without spending a lot of money on ads. People get to know you, they get to trust you, they get to learn your personality. And, you know, your videos don't have to be perfect. You know, people like that you're making mistakes and you're stumbling and stammering, but it's you, it's real.
That is so true. You know, the reason I believe that everything that we experience when it comes to other people is from the energy. So there's energy compatibility. Sometimes you go on Facebook and you see somebody's video and you start watching it, and it's actually relevant to what a person is saying, especially that our attention span is so short that we sometimes don't even, you know, perceive what they're actually saying. And we're just literally based on the vibe, the energy, we decide whether we like them or not. So the first thing that happens is just this, like, I like, I don't like. It's like a caveman's test, right? If you like somebody, then you start watching them, listening a little bit more to what they're saying, unless they say the trigger word, which you resonated, whether it's personally or maybe professionally, and then you're like, oh, hang on a second, what did you just say? And you pay more attention. But what's an interesting thing is that what you just said, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be you. Fluency in talking, knowing what to say, being able to just switch on, you know, and just go on, that comes with practice. It took me a year. I remember last year I realized one day that I just spoke for 10 minutes. I didn't have bullet points. I didn't have anything. I didn't have to think. I didn't have any kind of, you know, pauses. It was just flowing out of me. But it took me a year from the very first live video that I did. So it's like learning a language in a way. You know, fluency comes with practice, but people can see you, and people relate so much to us when we're a little bit less perfect and a little bit more vulnerable. When I say vulnerable, I don't mean, you know, crying and, you know, showing that kind of vulnerability. I'm talking about just being yourself. My biggest curse is that I get blank minds on my lives. I can be building up a point, and it might even happen on this interview, actually. I build up a point, I build it up, it's I am supposed to make such a huge, huge point, and then I completely forget what I was going to say. And this is something that, like, it's like Julia Stapleton effect. But you know what, with that, that doesn't stop me, because when that happened very, very first time, I had a few people live, and I saw this, my, like, laughing faces, and somebody said, that was the best video I've ever seen. And that made me think that actually, because it was funny, and I do believe that we attract people who are compatible. So for me, humor is huge in my life. That's how I cope with life. So I attract people who appreciate humor too. And that's a good thing. So next time when I mess up, that's okay. As long as I don't get weird about it, or, you know, switch off the video or something, that's not good. But if we were all sitting in the same room and all of a sudden I had a blank mind, or, you know, started coughing or something happened to me, everybody would just be saying, are you okay? You know, did I go? So they wouldn't actually hate me, or, you know, the earth wouldn't come apart and swallow me just because this happened. So I think that this is important to remember. Yes, it's a new thing and it feels awkward, and anything new always feels scary, and you have to talk to a piece of plastic instead of talking to a real person. But I do believe that feeling that energy and showing your energy on video is very close to being in the same room, very, very close. Mm-hmm. And as someone, I operate on energies, you know, I'm very empathic. So I really, really believe that it works, because that's how I get into, I follow people based on their energy and nothing else really, you know, and that's how I buy, by the way.
I like that you said the Juliet Stapleton effect. That's kind of funny.
It should go viral, because it's just too funny.
you made a statement on your Facebook. It says 62% of people are more interested in your product offer after seeing it on Facebook Story. And there's a lot of people that still aren't using Facebook Story.
No, and you know, I will tell you a big secret, which I tell everybody anyway, so it's not really a big secret. I'm not an early adopter. So I talk about internet and I talk about showing up. I wasn't the first one who started doing live videos. I wasn't the first one who started using stories. I still don't think I use stories enough. Anything new takes me ages to learn. I'm a late adopter. I'm very lucky, because my clients and my students are very late adopters. So I'm the one who, you know, I have time to learn, and then there's still going to be people that I need to explain this to. But stories are very important. And in 2019, Facebook is about to change. You know, it's already, I'm not sure about you in the States, but maybe you already have a new look for your Facebook.
It changes so often, though. It's just sometimes I'm like, okay.
There is a complete revamp, and maybe you don't just.
The mobile just changed a little bit ago, and it looks weird, but.
We have a similar change coming up now to our desktop apps, where we're not going to see the blue bar on top anymore. We're going to have much more clear space. Some things are changing. Notifications. Oh, this is the biggest thing. And actually, I had one student today who got freaked out. Notifications is going to have its own page, where on one side we will see notifications like we see them now, and on the other side, the moment you click on the notification, the post will appear. So it makes it easier for us to interact with the post rather than waiting until the page loads, and it can be so long. So that's good. But if a student of mine who did a live video in a private group, and she obviously has this new version already, and she saw notification, clicked on it, and all of a sudden she's freaking out. She thinks everybody can see this video. Mm-hmm. But I actually think that there's new things coming up. So I'm just saying this to you guys, if you're listening to this, that if you have got a new version that's very kind of clean and the Facebook logo is different, and, you know, and you see these notifications, things are like, where you posted that video, that post, that's where it is. Don't freak out. It's a good thing. We're getting like a little bit upgrade on how we're doing, but let's go back to stories. Stories is going to be huge. Now there is a debate. Are we even going to have a news feed on Facebook or not? Nobody knows. So let's not, you know, it's, honestly speaking, nobody knows. Even Mary Smith, who knows always everything about Facebook. But what we do know is that Facebook definitely is going towards that kind of content that will disappear within 24 hours, which means it's like stories. And also they want us to do more interactive content, and stories with all the emojis and little things, and you can do the video and you can put loads of stickers. They are very interactive, you know, as far as Facebook is concerned. So yes, of course, what I would suggest is if you're not using stories, or if you don't even know what stories are, Google it first, have a look, have a read through some articles, but try and use them. Yes, it's going to be awkward. Yes, it's going to be, it's really, for me still, I'm not natural with stories. I'm very natural with writing long posts and doing videos, but definitely not with stories. I forget about using them. But if you can, it's going to be, for your visibility, it's so, so important, because they come on the top of newsfeed, and the moment you posted another story, again, your face goes, you know, number one, and there's so much visibility that you can, extra visibility that you can get through the stories. And then we will see, as Facebook is changing, we will know within the next 5 years what's going to happen. It's not gonna, Facebook is not going away 100%, is just going to change, and we just need to adapt. I'm sure that it's going to be still a brilliant platform to connect to people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, over the last 10 years, Facebook has changed a lot. And it's not the same that it was when it first started. You know, but beyond Facebook, what is your next favorite social media?
Honestly, I don't use any. I actually don't get to use any other. I do sometimes. I do have them all, but I did focus on Facebook. This is what I teach. I completely understand the whole concept of the Facebook being rented land, and that's okay as well, because I have my website. I'm building my list. I think so. This is what I do outside the social media. Facebook is my main social media channel. I have presence on LinkedIn. I have presence on on Instagram, Twitter. I just have a profile because I speak so much. I can't do one-liners. It's not enough characters for me to express myself on Twitter, so I don't really go near it at all. My main thing is Facebook. That's where my ideal client is. So I'm active there. That's where I connect. That's where I talk to people. Chat, Messenger is very important. But I collect emails, so I have my email list, so I can send them emails. I also have a membership site, Empowered Visibility Tribe, and that's a separate. We're still hanging out on Facebook, but we will see how Facebook goes, if we need to migrate to another platform to just have that kind of real close community, whether it's WhatsApp or some other channel, we will do that. But that's, so you have to always think about having connections with these people outside your main platform. But the truth is that if they are, like in my case, everybody is on Facebook, and everything that we talk about is Facebook. Facebook and beyond, there's some other things as well, but not in terms of social media. Then that's where I want to be, and then that's where I want to keep them.
I mean, I focus on Facebook and LinkedIn. To me, Twitter is chaotic. I don't do Snapchat anymore. I sometimes do Instagram. But the problem with, you know, some of these networks like Instagram, you know, they require you to use all these hashtags. You know, a lot of times the people that are responding are not my ideal client. They are other marketers. They are others out there just looking for that hashtag. And it doesn't do me any good to have them follow me, because they're competitors or they're entrepreneurs. They're not my customer.
That is a very good point. I think the reason why I'm not very active on Instagram is, first of all, my clients are not on Instagram. My ideal client is so non-techie, and Facebook is where most of people who are not very techie are, because, you know, they wouldn't even understand what I don't really honestly know. And I'm very transparent about it, because I'm not an Instagram expert. I've never been active on Instagram. I don't know much about how the hashtags work. I do know enough for me to understand it, but I never used it. I never had to explore it, because I do believe on focus on one thing principle. But also because I grew my business without my business. I grew from this room. I do not have, because I was looking for connections globally and outside Ireland even, you know, and I live in a very small rural community, very far from the airport. So for me to go somewhere and travel at the moment, it's hassle. Now I am working on this and I'm moving countries as soon as the chance happens. And I'm not joking, I'm just waiting for some things because I want to live more in a hub where I can jump on the airplane and go and, you know, do public speaking and things like that. But I don't think for the Instagram, the background that I have, which I love, but on every picture having that background is just going to be boring. That's why I'm not, you know, Instagram is a visual thing. You need to be out and about and take photographs. And so that's the reason, really. So I'm thinking, well, if I move and I'm planning to move back to Estonia, and Estonia looks, Tallinn looks like a fairy tale city. I'll have so much backdrop there that I can really go nuts with Instagram. But then again, my ideal client is not on Instagram. So why would I spend all that effort? Right. You need to look, it doesn't matter what you like. It doesn't matter what, you know, wherever your place, but where are your ideal clients? You know, if your ideal clients are in this pub there on the right hand side, don't go to the pub in the left hand side.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes you the queen of visibility. You know where you need to be to make the biggest impact.
It's the saddest thing, but I always thought I'm so intuitive in life and business. And this morning I realized I'm so strategic, it can't be more strategic. Everything I do is strategic and tactical. So yes, I probably am because of that. Everything I see, I straight away think, how can I use this? And, you know, why is this? And, you know, why would I spend, I'm also very protective about my time. And this brings me to, you know, the concept of for 6 years or 5 years I had business and I felt like, I'm a glorified employee. You know, I was treated like one, you know, I was on retainer packages. So I didn't really, you know, money came in every week or whatever. It was just a kind of this handy existence where you don't take control and you're like a vagabond in the wind, you know, it wasn't great. Whereas now, you know, now this is the mind block happened. What was I saying before that? Julia Stapleton thing now just happened. Mm-hmm. Help me out. What was I saying before I started talking about the Irish? There was a big point I was going to be. Oh yes, now I have that. And this is exactly what happens. This just happened. I'm so glad. So what I was going to say is, you have to build your business around your dreams. That was the point. Mm-hmm. So when I was stuck and I was feeling, you know, not in control. I was doing anything, taking any clients that I could just for the money, for the earnings. But I wasn't thinking about what sort of people they are. Am I enjoying being around them? Do I agree with what they say about, you know, life and other people? So I ended up with people who were racists, I'm a huge animal worker, animal lover, and I worked with people who had a hunting store. That's really against my beliefs, you know, but I never thought about, you know, these kind of things. But then what happened when I started being visible myself online, I realized that unless I design everything around the life of my dreams, and what is the life of my dreams? It is being flexible in time. And so if I feel like it, I don't have to be somewhere and I can just take my husband and go for a coffee, which is our favorite little thing that we do, right? So going with my husband for a coffee is the ultimate goal at any time, ultimate goal of me creating whatever I'm creating, spending 90% of my time on visibility and marketing and all the efforts. And it takes time and it's not a, you know, it's not a microwavable process. So it takes a long time to achieve. So for me with time, you know, if anything takes too much of my time, I protect it. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's so, so important. You know, I just thought I'll make that point.
Well, we're kind of running out of time. So what I would like, I want you to share with the audience your website or any way that they can get in contact with you, because I think that they need to reach out to you for more information. You know, it's great listening to you. I think you got a lot of great information. And, you know, I think that they just need to become friends with you.
Brilliant. Actually, that's where you can start, although I am hitting my 5,000 friends limit on Facebook, but you can always follow me. My personal profile is the best place to connect with me. So just look for Juliet Stapleton on the Queen of Visibility on Facebook, and I'm definitely going to come up. There is a Facebook page as well. As I said, I don't really use it that strategically, but you can like it. But if you wanted to visit my website, and everything is there, you can go to julietstapleton.com.
That is awesome. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Join us for future eHeroes podcasts and videos. This is Rob Ansbach with Juliet Stapleton. Adios.